Praise this morning, thank him for all the miracles that I can look around in the room and see. Amen. I thank him for all those ones that I cannot see. Amen. Because we know he works, as the scriptures say, he works all things together for good to them who love God and to them who are the called according to his purpose. Amen. Amen. It's just a blessing to be in a purpose-filled group with a bunch of people filled with purpose. Amen. Amen. So we're going to go right ahead and move forward into a word from the Lord. And we thank God for letting us be here today. Amen. We thank him for those who couldn't make it. We know some people are here with us in heart that were not able to physically be in the building. And we just thank God for them wherever they happen to be. And we're going to keep them in prayer because we know we're connected with all of them by prayer. Amen. That's why the word says, in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And he said, the peace of God that passeth all understanding will rule your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Today we have a topic which is moving on from where we were on the past few lessons. Y'all know we're following with a theme of Christ in You 2022. Amen. We haven't given that up because we're not done yet. I know I can feel Christ moving in. Somebody say, I feel it moving on the main altar of my heart. Amen. And I know he's moving in, but sometimes there's some things we need to move out. So we can move in. Amen. It's not that he didn't send the Holy Spirit like he promised. He's done everything he promised. But sometimes I need to get some things together on my end. Amen. Are you making your house acceptable for the Lord to move in and take up residence? Amen. He's there. He said, I'm going to be there by faith alone. When you trust and believe the good news that I am going to move in by the Holy Spirit, I'm going to be in your life. So we've been talking about some practical things that we can do to enhance our walk with God, because we know that, as we just sang in the song, God is the joy and the strength of my life. Amen. He's always there in your life, working out all things. The scripture says, for we know that he works all things together for good. That doesn't mean everything in your life is going to be good. We know that the hard way, don't we? Because there's some stuff not good. But whatever it is, God said, I'm going to work all things together for good. To you who love God, and to you who are the called, according to my purpose, I have a purpose for you. So don't make no difference. You can be going through difficult times, troubles, personal struggles, different things in your life. But God said, he promised never to leave you nor forsake you. So it behooves us by his word to work on some things ourselves. So that's what we've been working on this year. And so one of the greatest challenges of the Christian life is how to continue our discipleship against the powers that be. I just wanted to put it that way, the powers that be. What is that? That's the stuff in the world and the stuff in me personally that militates against God's best will and best purpose for my life.
Yes.
So we call that the powers that be. That could be the enemies of darkness, the devil and his crew, who try to send people into your life to destroy the work that God has built.
Yes.
Or it can be a lack of trust that we have, where we really haven't given ourselves completely over to God, to trust him in every situation, whatever struggle, whatever trial, with some stuff that we think, oh, God doesn't want to be bothered with this, or this is too personal or something. Sometimes we hold on to things. And so I just wanted to kind of put that whole thought process into a category. I don't have to do it. God has already done it in his word. So we talk about the powers that be, those things that obstruct you and me in our walk with God.
All right.
There's a lot of those things that would come against you. You ought to know there's some people in your life who you used to hang out with that don't really like the idea that you're in the church. And they'd rather see you back like they are, stuck on the ash heap or whatever kind of situation it is. You see what I'm saying? And there's some people playing church that really are not serious about Jesus. They're really not serious. They just want to go and have a religious facade so I look like I'm doing something so I can make you think that I care about the Lord. And so there's all kinds of obstacles that go on in this world, and the Bible puts it in three simple categories: the world, the flesh, and the devil. Yes. Amen. Now, and we have to really get this today, church, because when we talk about the world, that's the whole ball of wax here, yes, which is a fallen world. The world doesn't think it's fallen. The world thinks we're doing well, that we're rising and getting higher, and we're improving everything and making everything the way we want it. That's what they think. That's what they say. That's the facade, the face, yes, that they put on. Yes. That's the clown makeup they put on every day when they get up to try to impress somebody, yeah, about their prowess and their majesty. But yeah, the fact is, the world is hurting. It's full of sick people. A lot of them have a lot of power. Sometimes they have so much power that I've got so much that belongs to me, I'm just going to go down there and bust these people up here who aren't bothering me and take their stuff too, because I don't have enough. If the shoe fits, and I don't say nothing about who that is, but if the shoe fits, wear it. So this is the way the world is, and the world would like to make you think that everything that God says is bad is not so bad. It's okay, that's just the way you are. That's the kind of world we live in. Yes. We justify things that God has clearly stated in his word are sin. Simply put, yes. So we live in a world that would like to escalate sin and then talk about you and make you appear to be bad because you have the nerve to say something about the stuff we approve. So that's the kind of world you live in. So when we talk about the world, that's what we mean. Yes. The whole atmosphere of man who is thinking separately from how God says man should think. Mm-hmm. Then when we talk about the flesh, there are two things that I want to mention here. And I know we're going to have to get more deeply into this on Wednesday. It won't be enough time here this morning to really get all the way down in this. So I expect you to tune in this Wednesday that you and I have. And that the fact that we are in a human body. Everybody who is saved was not always saved.
That's right. Amen.
And there are times when you are saved when something might happen to make you think you're not saved. That's just me. I'm not going to believe that alone. But there are times when we act like we used to act. Sometimes we act worse than we used to act. But salvation is not about that. It's about a free gift that God gives to the people who trust and believe in the gospel. But so there are two dynamics of the flesh. There's the flesh of the fallen, and then there's the flesh of the saved. So you're dealing with two different aspects of the term that the Bible uses, the flesh. Same thing with the world. We are in the world, like Paul said, but we are not of the world. See, because he talks about the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. That means fleshly. Yes. But they are divinely powered, yes, to the destruction of fortresses. So he says, Paul says right to the Corinthians, that we have power that comes from God. Amen. That we have to be aware of. You and I have to be aware that even though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. You see what I'm saying? And so Jesus taught the same thing. So these are the things we're talking about. And then there is the devil. And the devil works in the same two dimensions. He works among the lost. And he also works among the saved.
Yes.
I would like to corrupt the saved and get them back over here where they used to be. Mm-hmm. I would like to get you off of a course heading toward righteousness and get you involved in the same stuff you used to do or something worse.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
If I can get you into something worse, that's even better. That's his philosophy. The more destruction I bring on you, the better I feel. That's the way the devil is. You know why? Because he can't be saved. The scripture says there's no salvation for the devil and his angels. Nothing but destruction. That's all he has to look forward to. So in the meantime, I'm going to enjoy busting up all of y'all. Plus the folks I already have under the captivity of my spell who are captivated by the world and the things that it offers. And so you and I who are saved, what it means to be saved is to trust what God has said in his word. Believe the gospel, first of all. You must start with faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. God has made Jesus Christ the focal point of salvation. There will be no one saved anywhere. And I like to be very explicit about this. Not because Pastor Fisher said it or St. Timothy says it, but because the Bible says it. There is salvation in no other. For there's no other name under heaven. That includes anywhere you go. You can go out to Andromeda or on the other side of the sun if you like. That's under heaven. I want you to know. So the scripture's clear. There's no other name under heaven which has been given among men. He gave it among men. That's us folk down here. Whereby we must be saved. One way. And I like to be very explicit about that. That's to the Jew and also to the Gentile, which includes all the people groups on the planet. And so this is what we're dealing with, so it makes it very difficult for us to sort through all of this. Last week we talked about the fact that you could have been brought up in a godly home and had some knowledge of Christ while you were growing up, or you could not. I was looking at a documentary. My wife and I looked at a movie about Quincy Jones just the other day, looking at how his family was really destroyed. It was awful. And yet God still used him to do a lot of things and made him a very productive individual in the world in spite of his childhood the way it was. So let me tell you, there's no excuse why we shouldn't be saved, first of all. And I'm not trying to say I think nor whether or not he's saved, but I did see in the documentary that his life was really awful. I would say, comparing it with my own, that it was worse than what I went through. And I don't know what you went through, so you diagnose that for yourself. Yes. But I want you to know that God is in the mix of all of that. That's part of the situation that you and I have to deal with. Yes. We're in this world. Sometimes we have people who care for us. Other times we don't. Some do, some don't. And some of the ones say they do it, they don't. And we got all of that goes on. That's the same stuff we say that is the world. And then we're in the flesh. Our flesh is weak. The scripture says that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So sometimes even when you're saved, you want to do the right thing, but your flesh is weak. So there are strategies you and I have to develop from God's word and also in prayer and the fellowship of the church to give us some authority over these things. And so that's what we're really talking about here today. And then the devil, as we say, he's, for lack of a better term, and I think this is a good one, he is hell-bent on your destruction. You know, I'm not trying to say nothing that sounds awful in church. But it's the truth. He is bent on your destruction. I got my missiles aimed at you, and I'm ready to, boom, take you out. If I can, just let me take you out. If you don't believe God, I'm going to try to take you out. So that's why Paul says that it's a spiritual warfare. It is a spiritual battle. The guns of hell are pointed at us to bring our destruction while God's grace and mercy is all around us. So we want to talk about the upside of it. So today I just wanted to put into a few words something that will help us get through this. We're talking about biblical spiritual power over the flesh and the powers of darkness. That's a simple statement that it characterizes what I just said to you in so many words. Biblical spiritual power over the flesh and the power of darkness. The power of darkness is that realm that keeps folks who are in the world lost. In the world lost. Yes. Now, if I can get away with that, that's a double statement. So that's what the power of darkness is. Not only that, but it keeps folks in the church doubting God. You doubt if God really do what he said he will for you. That's what he did to Jesus. Remember that he came to Jesus and said, "Yo, if you're the Son of God, why are you hungry? What you doing hungry? Just command these stones to be bread." Remember that? He tempted him. Yeah, and Jesus knew that God was his Father, that he was on a mission from heaven to save mankind. He knew that. And he fasted for 40 days and nights in the wilderness, and then the devil came while he was at a point of weakness. He said, "You the Son of God, what you doing hungry?" That's my paraphrase. "Just command these stones to be bread." Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." You know what he did? He took him right back to the book. You can say that, but God says, "Man shall not live by bread alone," in the book of Deuteronomy. But by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Jesus could have said something new. You know why? He's God in the flesh. But he didn't say anything new. You know what he did? Went back here into the book. You know why? Because you have the book and so do I.
Amen.
The book is available to you and all these other people in the world.
Amen.
All the folks around the planet who don't trust God, don't believe him, and decide to walk without him, the book is available. God has put it in the world as the most biggest selling item on the planet. There's no, they quit counting the Bible because nobody else could get the highest best seller. Because if we count this, your stuff pales by comparison.
Yeah.
But just having it and reading it and understanding it and getting it into your spirit is another thing.
Yeah.
It's not enough just to have it. You got to get it in you. And that's what we're talking about here today. So biblical. So that's why the word biblical is in the text for our message here today. Spiritual power. The biblical power is here. The knowledge of the external that God has given, which is a standard for all men, women, boys, and girls everywhere.
Yes.
Nobody else has a bigger advantage than you or me because they all have access to the book.
Mm-hmm.
It's been finished for over 2,000 years.
Yes.
And God said, I seal it with a curse. Do not add or subtract from the words of the book of this prophecy. He said, if you add, I will add the plagues that are written in this book. If you subtract, I will take your name out of the book of life. And all that, that's is sealed with a curse. You see what I'm saying? And God says, I've said everything I need to say. There's nothing else necessary for time and eternity. And then he said, when the heavens and earth have passed away, my word will still be around. So you and I need to have biblical power over the flesh and darkness, and we also need to have spiritual power over the flesh and the power of darkness. That's why it says biblical spiritual power over the flesh and the power of darkness. And God wants us to have that, each one of us. He's already made it available to you if you're saved. If you've trusted the gospel, which he made very simple, he so loved the world, he gave Jesus, his only begotten son, and he gave him for whosoever believes in him. He promises you, you will not perish. You don't ever have to worry about God not keeping his promise.
Yeah.
And the scripture says, repent and believe the gospel. That means stop doing it any other way. Start doing it this way. Start doing it this way. Let this be the way you go. And you know what? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. But I want you to see quickly a couple of passages to help you think about this over the next few days, hopefully even over dinner this evening or some other time in your life. But in Proverbs chapter 4, the scripture says it's written by King Solomon, hear ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she will preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding.
Amen.
Amen. The words of King Solomon, very, very wise words. With all of your getting, get understanding. So we want to have understanding of God's law, his word, the scriptures as much as we possibly can, because they will bless us. If you read on in the rest of that chapter, we'll tell you more about it. So I want you to see some things in the last few minutes that we have here this morning that I think will bless you through the rest of the week. And I want you to understand that the Proverbs and all of God's Word, not just the Proverbs, highlights the true wisdom that must be learned in order to prosper. Being in a fallen world of unbelievers, walking in a body prone to fleshly desires, and others still under the influences of the devil and his hosts, while having a desire to please God in spite of others who choose to be governed without the wisdom and personal instruction from God. A lot of people said, we're setting this aside, we're just gonna cut loose and do our thing.
Yeah.
And y'all just need to say it's okay, or let's just make it legal so we don't have to feel bad doing it. So we just wanna do it and we wanna make it legal. So now you can't say anything about it because man's law says it's legal. Although God's word says it's not. God says it's sin. Simply put, but we live in a world that says, well, we're not going to call it sin. We're just going to make it legal. And then we can feel good about it. We can be okay. And then all of you church folk, we can talk about you because now you're being judgmental. But the truth is, the devil is trying to destroy you. And he doesn't care if he destroys you legally or illegally. I don't care which way I destroy you. Whichever way you buy, whichever bait you take, I'll suck you in. And I'll destroy you any possible way you will take it, however you will take it. I'll make it sweet for the one that likes sweets, and I'll make it salty for the one who likes salt. I don't care. Long as I get you jacked up, where you're not doing what God said, doesn't make me any difference. That's the way he thinks. And so you have to be aware that God's word is going to be, as the psalmist said, a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. He's going to show me the way God wants me to go. The word itself will do that for us. So what we have to do is choose to be governed without the wisdom of God. There's people who choose to be governed without the wisdom and instruction of God and live life by the dictates of their own personal desires. And this section of the Proverbs expresses just how Jesus was manifested to illustrate perfectly how to please God in the flesh. That's why Jesus came. You know why he came? To do exactly what God said to God's satisfaction. And what that did was it terminated. He kept everything. The scripture says there was no deceit in his mouth. He spoke no lies. He spoke the truth all the time. He lived under the law of God perfectly, never breaking the law at all. See, and he's the only one who has ever done that. And then God offered him. He allowed him to be offered. But you know what? God didn't make him do it. When Jesus went to the cross, he wanted to go. The scripture says it was for the joy that was set before him that he endured the cross, despising the shame, and it sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. In other words, he executed everything perfectly till that God was satisfied. That's the only way God has ever been satisfied. That's the term in the Bible, propitiation. And the Bible says Jesus is the propitiation for our sins. That means he is the perfect satisfaction for God. He's the only perfect satisfaction for God. And God so loved the world, John 3:16 says that he gave his only begotten son. So he has made Jesus the focal point of salvation. That's just why Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father but by me. You can't come any other way. If you come any other way, he says, you come as a thief and a robber. And what do you think, there'll be any thieves and robbers that are acceptable to God? No, absolutely not. So the wisdom of God's word is what you and I need. And so if we can read that, even though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. So let's look at John, 1 John, and I think this will get us where we need to be for today's lesson. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begot, loveth him also that is begotten of him. Yes. Do you know the fact that Jesus Christ is begotten of Almighty God is one of the most controversial topics on the planet? This is why many people are not saved. They squibble and argue about the birth of Jesus Christ. But the Bible is crystal clear.
Yes.
It's crystal clear starting in the book of Genesis. And it goes on through and it never ever alludes to anything else except God is sending a Savior. And the scripture says when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman. Psalms 2 and 12 says, kiss the son, lest he be angry and he perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. But blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Both the Old and the New Testament testify that Jesus the Christ is the only acceptable Savior that God has sent.
Amen.
Nowhere else, no one else. You know what? All the apostles, the prophets, all of them, they cannot save anyone. You cannot save yourself. You shouldn't give up trying. What you ought to do is trust Christ that God has provided. He provided him because he loves you. And he knows that without me, you can do nothing. That's what Jesus said. See, he is perfect. We are not. So we're going to be made right with his Father. God set it up so that Jesus executed everything. I'm going to take time with that on this week's Bible study. When you read Proverbs 4, you'll see that it's actually underneath there. If you put Jesus in the background of the one executing these things, you'll find out that he is the one that perfectly executes all these things, has perfect wisdom, and he did that for you, whoever you are. And how do you know he did it? Well, he did it because when he went to the cross, he didn't have to go. You know what? He was the only one that hadn't sinned. The Bible said the wages for sin is death. So he didn't deserve those wages. Why? Because he had not sinned. There was no deceit in his mouth. So when he went there, there was no reason for him to go there. Death had no legal authority to keep him. So he went there on his own free will. And he allowed them to crucify him on the tree. It had been predicted in the scripture all the way from Genesis 3. On through, clear on through the Old Testament, all the way to Malachi. That the Savior would come and be crucified. Psalms 22 said, they pierced my hands and my feet. It's all written, every little detail. They'll smite the shepherd and his flock will be scattered, Zechariah said. All of these things in gross detail in the Old Testament. So the Jews should have known that this is the Messiah. Who else could fulfill all these things? So Jesus went because he loved you. The scripture says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross,
yes,
despising the shame. Think about the shame and the humiliation of the cross. You're the only perfect human being that has ever lived, and you let people spit in your face. Mock you, ridicule you, flog you, and beat you beyond recognition, just like Isaiah said that they would do. He was marred more than any man, the Old Testament said, but he allowed all of that. Why did he do it? For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. And then you have to cap that up with the fact that he endured all that contradiction of sinners against himself, like the scripture says, and did not sin.
Amen.
Didn't sin.
Amen.
Slap me and see what might happen to you. I don't think I can hold up to you. I have hit myself with a hammer and couldn't hold up to me, I might be honest. But he took all of that pain and he did it perfectly. You know what? God turned his head. The Bible says that he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? I'm hanging up here between heaven and earth, bleeding from everywhere. Producing blood, that blood I created when I made man. I know what it's made out of. I can just produce as much as I need. And hang and bleed long as I have to fulfill everything the Father said.
Yes, yes.
So he kept on until everything was finished. Then he said, it is finished.
It is. Yes.
And he still wasn't dead. Still wasn't dead. You and I would have died 1,000 times long before then. Or anybody else. You know what else? Death had a legal right to take me. If I got in a situation like that, come here, you sinned, I got you. Grab you by your sin, pull you down to the pit. That's it. You know what? Death was trying to reach for Jesus. There was no sin for him to grab onto.
My God. No.
So he was just hanging there, fulfilling his Father's word. When it was all done, after he said it is finished, he said, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. Then he gave up the ghost. He gave God a perfect, holy, unblemished spirit, which is what God gave Adam in the first place. Gave it back here, Father. Here's that perfect soul. The difference is Jesus was born. Adam was created. But that's why Jesus is God's only begotten son. Very important.
Yes.
He was born of a woman. And therefore, he was able to represent me and you who are also born of a woman perfectly. And at the same time, he represented Almighty God perfectly.
Amen.
Making him the only priest that's acceptable to God Almighty. And that's for the Jew first. You hear a lot of confusion, and I'm going to be done here in the next couple of minutes, about ministering to the Jews. And I believe in ministering to the Jews. I pray for the peace of Jerusalem quite often. And Jerusalem is a very difficult city at this particular time in history. Very difficult. Because all the focal point of everybody in the world is focused on Jerusalem. Do you know the last end time scenario is forming right now exactly the way the scripture said that it will? It's going to be, the focal point is going to be Jerusalem. But you know what? The Jews don't get a pass. They must accept Christ. And I'm not against the Jews. Jesus was not against the Jews. He came to his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them he gives the authority to be called the children of God. So there's not two gospels, there's only one. It's for the Jew first, and also for the Gentiles. So we pray for the peace of Jerusalem, that they will actually accept the Christ whom they crucified. God knew they would do it. And he went there first. That's why John 1 says he came to his own and his own received him not. But let's look at 1 John here. We got to move along. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Now we talk about how Jesus was born in the flesh by a woman, so therefore he had none of Adam's sin because God was his father. Yes. But we need to be born from above in order for us to be saved. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. Now that's how you can measure how far your spiritual progress is how well do you keep God's commandments. Boy, that's a strong test. I tremble to even mention it myself, because it's not easy. I'm not going to stand here and tell you it's easy, because we have a tendency to stray away. Why? Because our nature is fallen. So we have to learn to cater to not only what the Bible says, but also to what the Holy Spirit says. Because that's where you're going to get, the Bible says you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So God wants you and me to witness to others about who Jesus is and how they can be saved. That's what started the church, and the church should be continuing in that until the trumpet sound. You know how you know? Because Jesus said, go and teach all the nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always even to the end of the world. So if the world hasn't ended yet, our mission has not changed. So long as you can see the world, your mission has not changed. And God wants the gospel preached to the ends of the earth. And so it says here about Christ, getting back to 1 John chapter number 5. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? That's where your victory comes right there. You know what? It's a firm victory. It's a free victory. God has given it to you freely. You didn't earn it, and you didn't deserve it. But God says, if you trust my son, I give it to you by faith. So you have it, but now we got to learn to walk in it. And so this is what John is talking about. He says, God's given you the victory already. Notice it says, he is he that overcomes the world when he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth.
Yes.
For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. That would be the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
They bear witness in heaven. Now notice this, and there are three that bear record or witness in the earth. That is the physical realm, the spirit, the water, and the blood. These three agree in one. You see that? So there's physical evidence as well as spiritual evidence to the gospel. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his son. He that believeth upon the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his son. You must believe what God says. And this is the record that God has given to us, eternal life, and this life is in his son. So don't go try to separate the son from the father. it will only do damage to you. He that hath a son hath life, and he that hath not a son hath not life. That's very clear. Either you believe God or you don't. So John teaches that the new birth and faith in Jesus Christ, gospel, and the word of God are the dividing line between the lost and the saved. And they are also the means through which God, the Holy Spirit, can administer the knowledge of the scriptures to each believer in an individual manner. God knows exactly what each one of us needs.
Yes,
and grant victory through ever-growing faith and peace during our walk, knowing that God's word is true and cannot ever fail. That's what you and I have to know. That's why discipleship is so important.
Yes,
so the internal witness of the Holy Spirit to God's holy and inerrant word are the vehicle through which believers are set apart from spiritual service and for spiritual service and granted conviction and spiritual progress against the enemies of God, and are granted biblical spiritual power over the flesh and over the power of darkness. This is how you and I get the victory.
Wow.
Amen. So sessions like this,
yes,
is a great blessing.
Amen.
God is imparting to me and you everything we need for time and eternity.
Yes.
Amen. So we're going to give you an opportunity at this time if you would like to come. We invite you to come. Church membership is a very important thing. And it's not just association with the building. It is with the fellowship of believers. We are the church, the called out ones. The scripture is calling you.